Welcome to Zichud Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Zecher Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Gimel. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the last mission in the Perek states that Beis Shammai says, Mavir me'al ashulchan atzamos v'klipin. One may remove bones and husks from the table, which is understood by hand. Whereas Beis Hillel says, Masal kasatav l'kulo minara. One must take up the entire table board and shake it clean, but not handle the bones and husks by hand. Rashi explains that the bones and husks are not fit to be eaten by animals. Beis Shammai holds like Rabbi Shimon that does not apply muksa laws broadly, and therefore the bones and husks can be moved. Beis Hillel holds that there are muksa and therefore only permit moving the non-muksa table. Rav Nachman of the Gemara states that this Mishnah should not be relied upon, and in fact the opinion should be reversed, with Beis Shammai ruling more stringently like Rabbi Yehuda, and Beis Hillel more leniently like Rabbi Shimon. Point number two, the Gemara notes the contradiction of the Mishnah. The Mishnah states that one may remove seir she'afunim and seir adashim, pea pods and lentil pods, mifneshu malcha behema, because they are fit to be used as animal fodder. This ruling goes according to Rabbi Shimon, who does not apply muksa laws broadly, and not like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that foods designated for humans, as these foods were when Shabbos began, that becomes animal food after the edible part was eaten on Shabbos, is prohibited due to nola. However, the next statement in the Mishnah says that one may use a sponge with a handle, but if there's no handle, it may not be used, as water will be squeezed out of it when using it. This would seem to be going according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Davar Shein Miskaven Aser. Doing a malacha act unintentionally is forbidden, as here he would be inadvertently squeezing out water. So the Gemara answers that even Rabbi Shimon would concede that using a sponge without a handle is prohibited for Abai and Rabbah. Both teach that Rabbi Shimon agrees that an act is forbidden b'ksik reisha v'lo yamus, in a case when the consequence is inevitable. And point number three, the opening mission in the 22nd parak introduces a machlokas about squeezing fruits to extract the liquid from them. Rashi explains the malach of squeezing fruits is mafarik, extracting, which is a tolda of dash, of threshing. The Tanakama holds that one may not squeeze the fruits to extract the liquid from them, and even liquid that oozes out on its own is prohibited in the Rabban. Rashi says that the reason that it's prohibited is that one may come to do it l'chadchila. Rabbi Yehuda says that liquid that oozes out of a fruit that was stored for eating is permitted. Rashi explains that since he's not pleased that the liquid is oozing out, there's no reason to decree that it's forbidden to drink, since he's unlikely to come to take a fruit which was stored for eating and intentionally squeeze out its juice. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The last mission of the Perek states that Beis Shammai says, Mavir me'al shulchan atzamos v'klipin, we may remove bones and husks from the table by hand, whereas Beis Hillel says, Masal kazatav l'kula minara. One must take up the entire table board and shake clean, but not handle the bones and husks by hand. Rashi explains that the bones and husks are not fit to be eaten by animals. Beis Shammai holds like Rabbi Shimon that does not apply muksa laws broadly, and therefore the bones and husks can be moved. Beis Hillel holds that they are muksa and therefore only permit moving the non-muksa table. Rav Nachman and Gemara states that this mishnah should not be relied upon, and in fact the opinion should be reversed, with Beis Shammai ruling more stringently like Rabbi Yehuda, and Beis Hillel more leniently like Rabbi Shimon. Point number two, the Gemara notes a contradiction of the mishnah. The Mishnah states that one may remove seir she'afunim and seir adashim, pea pods and lentil pods, mifneishu malcha behema, because they are fit to be used as animal fodder. This ruling goes according to Rabbi Shimon, who does not apply muksa laws broadly, and not like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that food designated for humans, as these foods were when Shabbos began, that becomes animal food after the edible part was eaten on Shabbos, is prohibited due to nolad. However, the next statement in the Mishnah says that one may use a sponge with a handle, but if there's no handle, it may not be used as water we squeezed out of it when using it. This would seem to be going according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Davar Shein Miskaven Aser. Doing a malacha act unintentionally is forbidden, as here he would be inadvertently squeezing out the water. The Gemara answers that even Rabbi Shimon would concede that using a sponge without a handle is prohibited, for Abai and Rava both teach that Rabbi Shimon agrees that an act is forbidden by Pesik Reish V'Loyamus, in a case when the consequence is inevitable. And point number three, the opening mission in the 22nd parak introduces a machlokas about squeezing fruits to extract the liquid from them. Rashi explains that the malacha of squeezing fruits is mefarik, extracting, which is a tolda of dash, of threshing. The Tanakhama holds that one may not squeeze the fruits to extract the liquid from them, and even liquid that oozes out on its own is prohibited in the Rabban. Rashi says that the reason that it's prohibited is that one may come to do it l'chadchila. Yudah says that liquid that oozes out of fruit that was stored for eating is permitted. And Rashi explains that since he's not pleased that the liquid is oozing out, there's no reason to decree that it's prohibited to drink, since he's unlikely to come to take a fruit, which was stored for eating, and intentionally squeeze out its juice. All right, so now we go to a Simfer Kuf Mem Gimel, and we had a lot of variations of 100. We had the 100th edition of a magazine. We had a collection of 100 coffee mugs or 100 mugs of ice cold beer. We had a 100-watt megaphone. Then we had comics, camping gas, campgrounds. We had people do the reverse. We had gimmick. We had a person suggest come get free pizza. I'm going to go with the suggestion that comes from Yeshua Shmuel Eisenberg from Queens and Nathaniel Yankella from Clifton, New Jersey, who suggested a Krav Maga expert. Krav Maga is an Israeli form of self-defense. And we're going to use that as our simon for Kuf Mem Gimel. So thank you very much, Yeshua Shmuel and Nathaniel, for that suggestion. So here goes. The Krav Maga master who could chop a table in half to remove bones and husks using a sponge with a handle would only drink liquids that ooze out of fruit that were stored for eating. Once again, in slow motion. The Krav Maga master, Krav Maga, that must mean run Kuf Mem Gimel. The Krav Maga master who could chop a table in half to remove bones and husks. Which reminds us, the last mission of the Perek states, the Beis Shammai says, Mavirin me'al shulchan atzamos v'klipin, we may remove bones and husks from the table by hand, whereas Beis Hillel says, Masal kazatav l'kula min ara, one must take up the entire table board and shake it clean, but not handle the bones and husks by hand. Rashi explains that the bones and husks are not fit to be eaten by animals. Beis Shammai holds, like Rabbi Shimon, that does not apply muksa laws broadly, and therefore the bones and husks can be moved. Beis Hillel holds that they are muks and therefore only permit moving the non-muks at table. Rav Nachman the Gemara states that this mission should not be relied upon, and in fact, the opinion should be reversed, with Beis Shammai ruling more stringently, like Rabbi Yehuda, and Beis Hillel more leniently, like Rabbi Shimon. So the Krav Maga master who could chop a table in half to remove bones and husks using a sponge with a handle, which reminds us, the Gemara notes a contradiction in the Mishnah. The Mishnah states that one may remove Seir Shalafunim, Seir Adashim, pea pods, and lentil pods, Mifneishu Machal Behema, because they are fit to be used as animal fodder. This ruling goes according to Rabbi Shimon, who does not apply Muksa laws broadly, and not like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that food designated for humans, as these foods were when Shabbos began, that becomes animal food after the edible part was eaten on Shabbos, is prohibited due to nolad. However, the next statement in the Mishnah says that one may use a sponge with a handle, but if there's no handle, it may not be used, as water will be squeezed out of it when using it. This would seem to be going according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Davar Sheino Miskaven Aser. Doing a malacha act unintentionally is forbidden, as here, he would be inadvertently squeezing out water. So the Gemara answers that even Rabbi Shimon would concede that using a sponge without a handle is prohibited. For Abai and Rabbah both teach that Rabbi Shimon agrees that an act is forbidden b'psik reish v'lo yamuz, in a case when the consequence is inevitable. So the Krav Maga master who could chop a table in half to remove bones and husks using a sponge with a handle would only drink liquids that ooze out of fruit that were stored for eating. Which reminds us, the opening mishnah in the 22nd parak introduces malchukas about squeezing fruits to extract the liquid from them. Rashi explains that the malach of squeezing fruits is mefarik, extracting, which is a tolda of dash, threshing. The Tanakhama holds that one may not squeeze the fruits to extract the liquid from them, and even liquid that oozes out on its own is prohibited midrabanan. Rashi says that the reason that's prohibited is that one may come to do it, l'chadchila. Yehuda says that liquid that oozes out of fruit that was stored for eating is permitted. Rashi explains that since he's not pleased that the liquid is oozing out, there's no reason to decree that it's prohibited to drink, since he is unlikely to come to take a fruit which was stored for eating and intentionally squeeze out its juice. So once again, the Krav Maga master who could chop a table in half to remove bones and husks using a sponge with a handle would only drink liquids that ooze out of fruit that were stored for eating. And now it's time for a four blot back chazara. Daf Kuf Lamed Tes. So the symbol for Kuf Lamed Tes is a blood clot. So here goes. The cardiologist told the corrupt judge with a blood clot. Blood clot, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf Lamed Tes. The cardiologist told the corrupt judge with a blood clot, which reminds us, it was taught in a brace that Rabbi Yosef ben Elisha said, Imri Isa Dorish Tzaros Rabos Balzalav. If you see a generation upon which many troubles come upon it, Tse Ubdok B'dayani Yisrael, go and examine the deeds of the Jewish judges. For all misfortune that comes to the world, Dayani Yisrael comes only on account of the Jewish judges. And the Brisa continues and says, Yisrael, will not rest his divine presence on the Jewish people until there will cease to be corrupt judges and officers amongst them. Ula said, Yerushalayim will not be redeemed except through charity, as it says in the Pasuk, Tzion b'mishpat t'pade v'shaved b'tzdaka. Tzion shall be redeemed through justice and returnees through charity. So the cardiologist told the corrupt judge with the blood clot to straighten up and have a happy heart, which reminds Rabbi Malai said, v'schar v'racha v'smach b'yibo, in the merit of that which Hashem testified concerning Aaron, and he will see you and he will rejoice in his heart, Zachu l'choshen mishpat al libo, our merit to wear the choshen mishpat, which was worn upon his heart. So the cardiologist told the corrupt judge with the blood clot to straighten up and have a happy heart, or else it would be a burial on the second day of Yontif. Which reminds us, the people of Bashkar sent 3 shilohs to Levi, but by the time they arrived, Levi had passed away. Shmuel said to Rav Menashe, if you're sufficiently wise and know the answers, send them to them. In each case, he ruled stringently, Levisha ain't a b'nei Torah, because they were not b'nei Torah. He was concerned that if they were given a lenient ruling, they would become even more lenient. The third question was, what's the law for burying a corpse in Yontif? He answered that neither Jews or non-Jews should be involved in the burial, neither on the first day or the second day of Yontif. He answered them in a stringent way, but truly the halach is that on the first day of Yontif, the corpse may be buried by a non-Jew, and on the second day of Yontif, it may be buried even by a Jew. The reason why a Jew is permitted to bury a corpse on the second day is that since after the calendar was fixed, the second day was only at the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan allowed it for the needs of the mace. Daf Kuf Mem, so the simple Kuf Mem is a camera, so here goes. The Chinese tourist dropped his camera. Camera, that must mean run Daf Kuf Mem. The Chinese tourist dropped his camera into a bowl of soaking chiltis, which reminds us that the next Mishnah states, one may not soak chiltis in warm water, but may put it in vinegar. Rashi explains that people would soak the chiltis in warm water to make it a therapeutic drink, and they put in vinegar to be used as a condiment. The Gemara asks what the law would be if someone did soak the chiltis in warm water on Shabbos. Rav Adonar Shah said before Rav Yosef that if one soaked the chiltis b'shogeg, that he's chai v'chatas. Abai said to Rav Adonar that soaking chiltis is comparable to soaking raw meat in water, where one is certainly not liable. Rather, Abai said that it's rabbinically prohibited because of uvda d'chol, that one should not act in a manner that he acts during the week. So the Chinese tourist dropped his camera into a bowl of soaking chiltis, just as he was about to take a shot of the poor natives rubbing their stiff linen shirts. Which reminds us, Rav Acha bar Yosef asked Rav Safra whether one is permitted to rub a freshly laundered linen shirt on Shabbos. Do we say that he intends merely to soften the shirt, in which case it's permitted, or perhaps he intends to make the shirt brighter and therefore it's prohibited? And Rashi explains that freshly laundered linen shirts are stiff and rubbing softens the shirt, but it also has the effect of making it brighter, and brightening it is considered a form of libun, of laundering. Rav Safra answered that one's intent in rubbing the shirt is to soften and therefore it's permitted. Rav Acha bar Yosef had previously asked Rav Huna the same question about a linen kerchief and was told that it was prohibited because people rub them to make them brighter. However, he still asked Rav Safra afterwards if it's permitted to rub a freshly laundered shirt because it's not similar to rubbing a linen kerchief. People care more about the brightness of a linen kerchief because it's more visible as a head covering, and therefore it could be that rubbing a kerchief is forbidden, whereas rubbing a shirt would be permitted. So the Chinese tourist dropped his camera into a bowl of soaking chiltis, just as he was about to take a shot of the poor natives rubbing their stiff linen shirts in preparation to eat some bread they had saved. Which reminds Rav Chizkiah gave 13 pieces of advice to Talmidei Chachamim and 8 pieces of advice to his own daughters regarding proper behavior with their husbands. He advised that a poor Talmidei Chachamim who does not have much bread should save his bread until he has enough for a satisfying meal instead of dividing his bread into many small, unsatisfying meals. Daf Kuf Mem Aleph. So the Simfer Kuf Mem Aleph is a first place winner. So here goes. The first place winner, that must mean Ron Duff, Kuf Mem Aleph. The first place winner in the Abba has to babysit contest, who taught his children how to crush peppers with the handle of a knife, which reminds us crushing produce into very small pieces is prohibited because of the malach of tochen, grinding. Rav Yehuda said that one is permitted to crush peppers as long as it's done one at a time and the crushing is done with the handle of a knife. Doing the action of crushing with these 2 changes from the normal way permitted. Rav disagrees and says that even if one deviates from the normal manner by using the handle of the knife, he may crush even many peppers at one time. So the first place winner in the Abba has to babysit contest, who taught his children how to crush peppers with the handle of a knife and to dry off before coming out of the water, which reminds Rav Yehuda said that one who is bathing in a stream of water on Shabbos should dry himself before getting out, lest he come to carry the water on his body, Dalet Amos, on the banks of the water, which is a Carmelis. The Gemara asks that if this is so, then it should be prohibited from him to enter the water as well, because when he does, the force of his entry pushes the water away for a distance of Dalet Amos in the sea, which is also a Carmelis. The Gemara answer is, Kocha b'Carmelis l'gazru. The Rabbanan did not decree against transferring through one's force in a Carmelis. So the first place winner in the Abba has to babysit contest, who taught his children how to crush peppers with the handle of a knife and to dry off before coming out of the water, was disqualified when it turns out he carried his child with a pouch suspended from his neck. Which reminds us, Rav has said that if one took out a live child into Rishas Rabbim with a pouch suspended from his neck, he's chai because of the pouch. The Gemara asks why the father is not chai for carrying the child as well, and answers that Rava holds like Rabbi Nassim, who says a chai noset tatzmo, a living being supports its own weight. The Gemara then asks why the person is chai at all, since one should view the pouch as an accessory to the child, similar to the ruling that if one carries an alive person on a bed, he's pater even for the bed, since it's tafel, it's secondary to the person. The Gemara answers mito gabi chai mevatele. A bed is considered an accessory to a living person because it's serving him. Whereas the pouch is not considered an accessory to the child, since it's just an extraneous object he's using as a toy. Daf Kuf Mem Beis. So the simple Kuf Mem Beis is a comb. So here goes. The door-to-door salesman who showed how his wonder combs, that must be more on Daf Kuf Mem Beis. The door-to-door salesman who showed how his wonder combs could wedge stones into basket holes, which reminds of the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Bey stated, that one may move a basket with a stone in it. The Gemara asks why the person should be able to move the basket, since it should be considered a basis ledava aser, a base to a forbidden object, thereby giving the basket the same muksa status as the stone. An initial suggestion made is that the basket is primarily filled with produce, which would make it a basis to a permitted object, thereby permitting to move it. The Gemara rejects the suggestion, since the produce and stone could be easily spilled out of the basket, and then the produce could be returned to the basket. So Rabbi Eli said in the name of Rav that in this case, the produce cannot be spilled out because it is produce that would become soiled and ruined if it were spilled out. Rashi brings us the examples of ripe figs, berries, or grapes. The Gemara questions this answer as well and says that it would still be technically possible to shake the basket until only the stone fell out. Rav Chiya Bar Ashi in the name of Rav offers an alternative answer that we're dealing with a case where the stone is filling a hole in the basket and thereby the stone is considered part of the basket and not considered muksa. So the door-to-door salesman who showed how his wonder combs could wedge stones into basket holes and shake pillows with money on top, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if one left money on a pillow, one may shake the pillow so that the money falls off. Rav Chiya Bar Ashi said in the name of Rav that one may only shake the pillow in a situation of shocheach, i.e. that one forgot that he placed the money there. But in a case of maniach, where one intentionally left the money there, the pillow becomes a basis and may not be moved. Rav Bar Bar Chana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that one is only required to shake the money off with Tzorach Gufo when the pillow is needed for the sake of its use. But in a case of Tzorach Makomo, when the pillow needs to be moved because one needs its place, one may move the pillow with the money on it. So the door-to-door salesman who showed how his wonder combs could wedge stones into basket holes and shake pillows with money on top admitted that moving a forgotten purse in a courtyard still needed a baby. Which reminds us, Rabbi Oshia said that if one forgot a purse containing money in a courtyard where it's unprotected, he may place a loaf of bread or a young child upon it and move it. Two other Amoraim state similar rulings. Rav Ashi said that the dispensation for moving muksa by placing a loaf of bread or a young child upon it is only permitted in the case of placing it on top of a corpse in order to move it. Rashi explains that this is permitted because of kavod abrios, preserving human dignity, such as in this case where the corpse is lying in the sun. All right, now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos number 1. Which stuff do we have a machlokas if one perform mila for an infant born Erev Shabbos on Shabbos? That's on Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin. Good, number 2. Which stuff do we discuss which malacha one is violating for straining wine on Shabbos? That's on Daf Kuf Lamed Ches. Good, number 3. Which stuff do we learn that sorrows come in the world because of corrupt judges? That's on Daf Kuf Lamed Ches. Good, number 4. Which stuff do we learn that Rabbi Shimon agrees that one can't use a sponge without a handle because of psik resha? That's on Daf Kuf Mem Gimel. Good, number 5. Which stuff do we learn that one needs to drop before coming out of the water on Shabbos? That's on Daf Kuf Mem Aleph. Good, number 6. Which stuff do we have machlokas regarding how to remove bones and husks from a table? That's on Daf Kuf Mem Gimel. Good, number 7. Which stuff do we have machlokas regarding when and how to shake a pillow to move the money that's on it? That's on Daf Kuf Mem Beis. Good, number 8. Which stuff do we have Rav Chissa's Eitzah to pour Tam Nechuchamim to save enough bread for a satisfying meal? That's on Daf Kuf Mem. Good, number 9. Which stuff do we learn what the din is regarding burial and yontav? That's on Daf Kuf Lamed Tes. Good, number 10. Which stuff do we have Machlok is whether one can drink a liquid that oozed out of a fruit that's usually stored to be eaten? That's on Daf Kuf Mem Gimel. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1. Which stuff do we learn about Shnai Mikra Ve'echad Targum? That's on Daf Ches. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we learn about different tefillahs of the Amoraim? That's on Daf Yud Zayin. Good. And number three, which stuff to go in about the bracha on rice? That was on Daf Lamed Zayin. Great. That concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Goldar from Zichru. Wishing you a great day and great learning.